Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Kratz playing it forward to Almiron. Ahead to Martinez. Onside break. Martinez in alone. Shot. Score! Golazo!
And by the way, we could have been up like 3-0 at the half. We had everything going for us, Carl. Miggy missed another. There was a couple of beautiful setups that Miggy gacked that we really could have been. It would have been like New England. It would have been like a 7-0 game if we had the one-man advantage, man.
Well, it was still a lot of fun to watch, guys. And joining us right now, our guy, Jason Longshore. He goes by Longshoe at Longshoe on Twitter. And you can follow him for all the latest soccer info and United info. And Jason, you know, it's easy for us to go, all right, this is what I expected because of the way this team played on Saturday, and it's what we got used to last year. But for me, it was just the attacking style and the relentless effort that I seemed to see, and I think most people saw that as well, that just it didn't stop. I mean, every time we got a shot, we were going after it, and this looked like the team that again, we fell in love with last season at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's still coming together. You know, it's early, and I think this team is still kind of figuring out what Darlington Nagbe brings to the group, and pretty soon we'll find out what Ezekiel Barco brings to the group. But it was much better. You get the help from the early red card. That does make the game a little bit easier to manage, but this was a game from the beginning where Vancouver was going to be very defensive, give away a lot of possession. What I liked was Atlanta United took advantage of it, connected their passes, and created opportunities.
Now, Jason, for guys that are new to soccer, who's getting more and more people to start following United here and seeing what a great vibe it is, was that worthy of a red card? Because that's a huge moment in a soccer match where you're basically putting a team down with just 10 guys. And it sure looked like Whitecaps were pretty gooning it up. They're pretty dirty. It sure looked a little chippy.
Vancouver's a very physical team, and Kendall Waston's one of the more physical players in the league. When you go back and watch the replay, when contact is made as Gonzalez Pires is trying to ease in and get position, Waston gets the arm up very high, connects with Gonzalez Pires. I don't know if he caught him with the elbow or the bicep, but he connects with Gonzalez Pires in the head. And that's pretty simple violent conduct, red card offense. But that's why you have video assistant referee now. That's why you're able to go back and see it. It wasn't spotted live. You go to video assistant referee when there's a clear and obvious mistake. And on a red card situation, that's a mistake. And get the penalty, get the red card, thanks to replay.
Jason Longshore joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline, talking Atlanta United. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, guys, more about what's happening around the NFL and what I think is the worst trade to happen in a very long time. We'll get to that. Hey, Jason, obviously we could talk about Martinez. And, you know, we said this, Mike and I did last year. If the guy didn't get hurt last year, he might have been the MVP. He's back off to another great start, isn't he?
It is ridiculous when you look at Joseph Martinez, one hat trick away from tying the all-time MLS career record, and he's played 23 matches in the league. That's just almost unheard of. He scores goals, you know, by the bucket load at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. He just fits this team perfectly. He makes the simple runs. He doesn't try to do a million different things. He plays to his game, and the players around him know exactly what to expect from him. And every time he's in the box with a little bit of space, they're going to feed him.
From the radio broadcast with Mike Conti, Jason Longshore with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, your home of United 99 The Game. Why is he on loan? Why do we have Joseph Martinez? Guy asked me that at the bar up in the 200 level on Saturday night. I mean, isn't somebody going to want him back at some point?
Joseph Martinez came over on loan, but Atlanta United triggered that purchase really quick last year. So he's an Atlanta United player.
Okay.
The question is this, though. You know, goal scorers around the world are always at a premium. And when you have a guy scoring at this rate in Major League Soccer, will another club in Europe come in with a huge offer for Joseph Martinez? I think he's in a different situation than Miguel Almiron, who hasn't been to Europe yet. Joseph has been there. It didn't work in Italy for him. He did have a good start to his European career in Switzerland. But is he going to be as ready to jump at the first offer that comes for him? Or, as he said many times, he wants to stay in Atlanta because he's very comfortable here and he loves Atlanta.
Jason, we get a week off now for the international break. Almiron, Nagby, and Williams, they all got called up. For fans who don't understand this, can you give a little background and explain what's going to happen?
Yeah, so in soccer, you have national team matches that go on throughout the year, and this is a World Cup year, so there's a lot of matches around the world in this upcoming international window. The U.S. didn't qualify, Paraguay didn't qualify, but they still take it as an opportunity to play these national team matches and look at the next generation of talent for the U.S. squad. And a guy like Nagby has kind of been in and out of the national team squad. This is an opportunity for him to take more of a leadership role with the U.S. national team, with a very young team being called in. With Almiron, he's one of the key players for Paraguay. He's one of the first choices they make when they bring their national team together. And he takes it very seriously, as any player around the world does. When you get the opportunity to represent your country in soccer, it is the ultimate honor. And Romario Williams is another who has really come into his own playing with Jamaica last year in the Gold Cup. He had a great tournament for Jamaica, and really that was his coming out party as a professional.
All right, we're scoring a ton of goals. Everything's cooking. We got to see Carlton out there, and what a great show. And again, he had a screw-up there where it resulted in a shorthanded goal for Vancouver. Comes right back, and Jason, talk about how beautiful that pass is right to the noggin of Joseph Martinez for his third goal.
Just great work from Andrew Carlton. You know, some people were criticizing him when the turnover did lead to the goal. Tata Martino, you know, took him off the hook for that. It's one of those plays. He wants Andrew Carlton to try things in the attacking third. And Vancouver hits a long ball. It's a one-on-one with Parkhurst, and Vancouver gets the goal. But what I loved from Carlton was that he bounced back. And he had a couple other opportunities that didn't result in a goal. But on that, he gets his head up, picks out Joseph Martinez on the back post, doesn't just whip in across blindly and hope it finds somebody. He picked it out, measured it perfectly to give Martinez a chance to go up and get it.
What about Barco? And once we get a chance to see him, and by the way, do you think we will see him against the Minnesota United? That's games on the 31st. But once he gets inserted into this lineup, what are we expecting? Because, again, you know, we saw him in the preseason. Obviously, he's been fighting the injury. But do you expect to see him against Minnesota? First question. And then secondly, how does he mix in with the group?
It's possible for Minnesota. I think if he's eligible for Minnesota, I think he'd probably be coming off the bench, and you'd be looking to ease him in if he can get back that quick. I would say it's probably a little more likely to see him from the start once they get back home against LAFC the following week. The question is, where does he fit? And in the 3-5-2 that the team is playing right now, there's not as easy of a fit for Ezequiel Barco in this group. You're going to have to rearrange things. And Julian Gressel's emergence as a right wing back over these last couple of matches is maybe making this a little bit more difficult of a decision for Tata Martino. In the 4-2-3-1, which Atlanta United played often last season, which they played against Houston in the opener, he's an easy fit. Barco plays on the left wing, problem solved. In the 3-5-2, he could play as the 10, where Miguel Almiron has played the last two matches. He could play up top as the second forward, where Tito Villalba has played the last couple of matches. So there might be some rearranging if they keep the same shape that they have in the last two.
It's nothing like breaking it down, guys. And as we said, we're learning, too, you know, as how this works. Because the good news is we have a problem a lot of teams like to have. About 8 guys that can make things happen on offense.
Jason, great job as always, man. Great call on Saturday. Enjoy this little bit of break. And we'll get back to it, man, talking to you at the end of the week. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, Carl, Darren Eels will join us. His weekly visit, the honcho of your Atlanta United, coming up tomorrow about 3:20 or so. He'll be live with us in studio.